How many know the first of the year is coming right up upon us? How many ever had a New Year's resolution? If you raise your hand and say, okay, yes. Well, how many of you in the second week, let me say the second week of January, you know what? We're still resolute not to eat the Twinkies. Hello, somebody. What is your resolution? Let's talk about what the word means. Resolute is the adjective. It means admirably purposeful, determined, and unwavering. Somebody say unwavering. Unwavering. Somebody say determined and unwavering. The noun is resolution, and it means a firm decision to do or not to do something. How many have ever made a firm decision, you know what, to not eat so much pizza? You know what I mean? A lot of times that's what our resolution is. Our resolution is tied into some, you know what, maybe you want to lose some weight. Maybe it's not about weight. Maybe you just want to start eating healthier. Hello? And many times it's like you're not even in the third day and you've already, it's like, you know what, you're driving, by, you know, Holly's Pies and you know what, and it wasn't your fault, you know what I mean? Your friend said, hey, you know what, I'll buy you a pie if you, you know what I mean? And you were like, am I the only one? Come on, are y'all here today? Am I the only one? And you made a decision, but it wasn't a firm decision. How many, I'm just asking, how many ever done this and you did it more than one time? In other words, you made a resolution in 2015. You made a resolution in 2012. You've made several resolutions and you've broke those resolutions. Raise your hand. Okay. So what happens is we start to think, well, I'm not going to, you know what, I'll do what, here, I make this resolution. I'm making no New Year's resolutions. And we become defeated in our mentality to just say, I tell you what, those don't work, and you know what, I'm not going to do that. Well, let me be the catalyst of change for you today. And let me say, you know what? Make a resolution. Let me say it like this. Let me say it in a different way. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start to dream. Amen. You know, sometimes we just get, you know what, when we were little, we were dreamers. You know what I mean? It was like, I want to become a lawyer, I want to become an astronaut, or you know, I want to build buildings or whatever we came up with. I want to be a teacher and I'm gonna really help. You know, I remember going to that highly, you know what, esteemed academic structure called Pioneer High School. Amen. It's known, yeah, exactly. It is the Harvard of high schools. Amen. Somebody say amen. It is known for not only our athletic prowess, but our academic prowess. Come on. How many know my nose is growing longer, okay? But you know the truth is? This is the truth. In all 4 years of high school, I really didn't learn much. That is an absolute truth. There wasn't a big difference. When I graduated from the eighth grade and when I graduated from high school, there wasn't a big difference as far as my understanding of anything, math, English, you know, certainly Spanish, you know what I mean? You know what I learned in my Spanish class, right? Okay. You know what I learned in my Spanish class, right? Dro, siéntese. That's it. Why did you learn that? Because the teacher always told me that. Drew, sit down. Okay. And then the other thing I learned, you know what, of course, you know, and I can do it with perfect, accent because I heard it. You know what I mean? She said, Drew, silencio, por favor. Please be quiet. Please sit down. And Drew, please sit down. Which, I don't know. You know what? You might be able to connect the dots of what kind of student I was if my Spanish teacher was always telling me to sit down and be quiet. You know what I mean? Okay. But the point is, in my 4 years in high school, this is a true story, I really only had one teacher that inspired me. It was an English class. This man was a phenomenal teacher. And I read The Old Man in the Sea. How many ever read The Old Man in the Sea? I mean, just an incredible book. Why'd you read that book? Because he inspired me to read that book. And it was awesome. And unfortunately, he had another opportunity to influence more students. And halfway through the semester, I lost that teacher. All the teachers I had in 4 years, and really only one teacher, was inspirational. Amen? That's sad, huh? But maybe you've been given a dream to, you know what, to inspire. Maybe God has called you to be a teacher. You know what I mean? I don't know what God has called you to do. But here's what I guarantee you. You're called to make a difference in the world. You know, I'm looking at somebody, you know what, in the congregation right now. And he came up to me last week. You know, he was excited. He was excited because he's making a difference. Amen? And somebody tragically was killed. You know what? He's a truck driver. Somebody in another company, but same industry, you know what, was killed. And you know what? And he decided, you know what, initiated. Somebody say initiated. Initiated. You know what? That they were going to start a fund and help this family out. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I don't know how much money they got. You know what I mean? Maybe they got 2,000, maybe they got 3,000, maybe they got 200. Maybe they only got, you know what, $400. But I'm telling you what, whatever they got, even if they only got $400, how many know that $400 is going to minister to that husband's wife? Amen. And maybe they could get $4,000. How many know $4,000 would minister? How many know $40,000 could minister? But whatever it is, you know what I mean? And I looked at him and I said, man, you are making a difference. See, every single one of us are called to make a difference. But what happens in the course of our life is we just get beat down. Has anybody tried something and not been successful in that thing? All of us have been that way. We tried, oh, I'm going to try this and not been successful. And all of a sudden, and many times, maybe that has happened. You know what? Dreams that we've had and it seemed like, somebody say it seemed like, you know, it seemed like they didn't come to fruition. So many things that I've learned, you know what, that, you know, things that I would seem as unsuccessful were actually learning blocks for me to be successful. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. You said, Pastor, this sounds like some kind of some kind of business. No. Listen. Don't get confused with my vocabulary. God wants you to make a difference. Amen. And so for a minute, with all the resolutions that you've made at the beginning of the year and all the times that those resolutions only lasted for about 4 weeks or 4 days or for some of us 4 hours. Amen. You know what? Till lunchtime came. Amen. Amen. And for a moment, before I teach you some, I'm going to give you some practical steps, biblical steps that are going to be a blessing to help you. But before I do that, can we just dream for a minute? For just a moment. Think for a moment on what happened in 2018 that you'd like to change. It can just for a minute, it can be anything. But here's the rules to this game. You can't let the negativity stop you. Listen, all we're doing is just imagining. All we're doing is just dreaming. Can we dream for a minute? And maybe you said, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice for me to get out of debt? Oh, Pastor, that's a good one. Can you dream for a minute? You know what? On what you would do if you were completely out of debt? Maybe you want to dream and say, you know what, Pastor? I want to be able to fit in some clothes that I haven't been able to wear in a long time. You know, can we just do? I'm not saying, you know what? Yeah, but I've tried. No. Just for a moment, can you give yourself just a moment to dream again? Just a moment. Forget about all the times that you failed. You know what? We've all failed. I've failed too. But can we just allow ourselves to dream? Wow, Pastor, I'd like to be able to really get closer to God. I'd like to, you know what? I've made so many commitments. I mean, get up early and pray. You know what? All I do is get up early and sleep. You know what I mean? And I get defeated in making the commitment. No. Can you just dream for a minute? Can you allow yourself to say, what would it, no, watch this. What would it be like? What would it be like if you could get in those clothes that you wanted to wear? What would it be like, you know what, if you all of a sudden, you know what, Pastor, I'm just so negative all the time. Well, what would it be like if, you know what, if you weren't negative? If you all of a sudden just thought different, you just became optimistic. Pastor, I don't know why, but you know what, I grew up around my dad. He had a filthy mouth. You know what? And I said, oh, I'm not going to say the F word anymore. And then as soon as somebody cuts me off, I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore.
That's right.
Pastor, to be honest with you, you know what? Nobody in the church knows, but you know the truth is, you know what? I just drink too much. What would it be like? Pastor, nobody knows, but you know what? Every once in a while I get on the internet and I watch things that I know God doesn't want me to watch. It's completely inappropriate. And I feel bad. I feel bad after. But I'm in this cycle. This pornography cycle. You know what I mean? This lust cycle. And I just for a minute. Whatever's going on in 2018, allow yourself to dream. What if it was different? Because let me tell you what. A jugular, a foundational principle for you to live that life. And let me tell you about God. Let me get real spiritual with you. God doesn't want you to be bound to anything. Amen? The Bible says, to whom he has set free, they're free indeed. There is freedom available to the body of Christ. There is freedom available to you. You can get out whatever it is. And let me tell you what. The world has beat you down into where you get to the place where you're just like, I don't want to be disappointed. Hey, that is a bunch of hogwash. Stop it. God has called you to be a dreamer. That's why God gave you your imagination, that you could see it before it was ever built. Amen. That you could see yourself before it ever was that way. That you could see yourself skinnier. That you could see yourself out of debt. That you could see yourself closer to Jesus Christ. That you could have a relationship with him that would inspire other people. Whatever God has placed in your heart, allow yourself to dream, because until you dream, you know what? If you continue to not dream, guess what? You know what? You'll never have it. Amen. You will never have it. Well, Pastor, you know, is that biblical? Absolutely. Can I show you some passages on this? It's throughout the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. My first point, and if you're right, taking notes, write this down. Maybe some of you could make the resolution that you're going to come in every Sunday and begin to take notes. Can somebody say amen to this? Well, why would I do that? Here, number one, because your pastor wants you to take notes, number one. Number two, because you will remember more of what you... Oh, you've heard this before. You will remember more of what you what? Write down. So maybe you'll go, well, how are you going to do that? You're going to go to the 99-cent store and you're going to get a notepad. Amen? You don't have to get a fancy. Oh, I want to get a fancy one. Fine, get a fancy one. Spend $10, spend $20, spend 99 cents. I don't care. But next week, come in with something to write down. Amen? Amen. And don't forget your pen or your pencil. Number one. What would it be like? What would you like to change in 2019? What is it? What is it? Think about it for a minute. But let's show you some scripture on this. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, say vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Look at this in the NIV. Same passage, but it gives us some insight. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Can I break this down a little bit for you? Where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, where you haven't seen. What's revelation? Revelation is something that you see, but it's not there yet. You see it with your imagination. See, it steps into the realm of the prophetic. Amen? And you don't, it's not there yet. This whole sanctuary. How many know it wasn't here? We had rooms. This was a fellowship hall. It was a founders hall. It was a sozo youth. It was a lot of things. But what it wasn't was a sanctuary that we could put over 200 people in one sitting. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. In a modern looking and modern sounding. Somebody say sounding. You know what? I love the North Sanctuary, but you know what? And I love Isaac, but Isaac used to, you know what, would have the drums, and we couldn't lower the drums because we didn't have a cage. We didn't have a sound room for the drummer. So we put a little thing, you know what, a little shield to try to make it less loud, but all the sound has to go on top of the drums. And I remember coming out of my office, and the music was awesome, but the music was screaming. Amen. And I like it loud, but I recognize, you know, the truth is that is not the vision, because the truth is it was too loud. And why didn't you fix it? What are you supposed to tell a drummer? Oh, play softer. How many of you can't tell a drummer to play softer? That's ridiculous. Okay. But we can't have vision to say, well, wait a minute. What if we moved into the founders hall, into the fellowship hall? And what if we took down this wall? And what if we took off the ceiling? And what if we, and boom, boom, boom. What was that? That caused us, watch this, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. Somebody say restraint. Restraint. You know what restraint is? Restraint is when you're going to do something and you don't do it. What do? You restrain yourself. See, if you start to, you know, Pastor, when you got on the scale and you looked at the scale, you know what, 5 months ago, and you looked at the scale and you're like, ah! Well, Pastor, what did you do? I just took one of my foots and put it over here. And as soon as I put my foot over there, all of a sudden it got better. Amen? Yeah. Pastor, well, why did you do that? Because I wanted some revelation. You say, yeah, but that was deceptive. Whatever. It was revelation, watch this, of what could be. And when I saw, and then you know what I did? Then I put the other foot back on. I saw what is and what was going to be. What is and what was going to be. What is and what was going to be. Why am I doing that? I'm looking for revelation. The New King James, when there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, you will stay the same. So what you have to do is you have to get the vision. Is this making sense? You have to get the vision. Do whatever it takes to get the vision. You know what? Put a picture. Get it. You know what? You want a picture of somebody in shape? You know what? Take a picture of Richard. Amen? I'm serious. Take a picture of Richard. Put it up there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be like that. Amen? I'm going to be like, because here's what will happen. If we followed Richie around, if we followed Richie around, in the morning, he wouldn't go to the donut. I'm not saying that he doesn't eat a donut. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, if you followed him around for the whole week, you know what? You wouldn't see a regular pattern of him going to the donut shop and eating 4 jelly-filled donuts every morning. And then at lunchtime, see, you know what? You'd see a whole different pattern of behavior. And so when you see that picture, all of a sudden you go into the donut shop and you're thinking, well, if I go to the donut shop, I ain't going to be able to look like Richard. Amen? And it will cause you to restrain yourself. You want to get closer to God? You know what I mean? Every time you get into the car, you know what? And you put on, you know what? You know what? You put on, play that funky music, white boy. Amen? You want me to sing it to you? Because I know the words. I know the words. I know this. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? Every time you get in a car, if you're listening to, you know what? You know, no more, you know, no more, what did I say? No more Mr. Nice Guy. I don't even know where that come. You know what? You know, school's out for the summer, school's out forever, you know what I mean? Whatever your vibe is. But here's the thing. You know what? How many know that ain't going to draw you closer to God? Oh, Pastor, don't get out now. Don't mess with my, you know, K-Earth 101. You know, don't get in my face. Listen, I'm here to be your friend. All I'm saying is, what if you had a vision of you? What have you thought about? You know, does anybody know anybody spiritual that you get around and you just feel, you just know, oh my goodness, that person been around God. Okay. Well, let me tell you what, if you hang out with them, they're not listening to, you know what, play that funky music, white boy, every time they get in their car. Amen. Are you learning something? How many glad you're here? All I'm saying is I'm pointing out biblically that you've got to get some vision on something, because the vision, when you have the vision, it will cause you to restrain yourself from the craziness that has caused you to have the mess that you have. Can I say it like that? You know what? I'm smiling, right? Does anybody feel beat up? Okay, I hope not, because I'm telling you this because this will help change your life. You want to change your life? You need to change your behavior. Oh, you want to change your life? You have to change your behavior. And before your behavior changes, you have to change how you start thinking. That's why I put my foot off the scale, because I wanted to imagine. Somebody say imagine. See, your imagination was given to you by God to be a dreamer. And those dreams will cause you to live a restrained life. Amen? Pastor, I don't know why I never have a job. I don't know why I have a job. Well, here's a question. Why do you always tell your boss off? Well, listen, I'll just tell him. All I was doing is just tell him how to make this company better. Oh, that's what you were doing. Maybe you should restrain yourself and tell your boss ask you. Amen? Are you going to understand what I'm saying? Okay. All kinds of passages on this. Look at 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies. Somebody say, according to the prophecies. Previously made concerning you, that by them, by the prophecies, you might wage a good warfare. It's the same thing as he said in Proverbs, just a different way. Paul is writing Timothy and he's saying, Timothy, there's been people who have prophesied over you, who've seen Not who you are, but what you're going to turn into. And you have to keep that thought, that the prophetic in front of you, that you'd start to see yourself like God is going to make you. Because when you do that, there'll be this restraint. You will, Paul says it like this, you may wage a good warfare. Are you catching this? See, this vision, this allowing yourself to dream, let me go back to it. What do you want to change? What would you like to change in 2019? And recognize you can change it. But you can't change it if you don't think it'll ever change. If you're like, I just eat one potato chip and it just, boom, goes to my hips. You know, that's how I am. Boom, boom, boom. Well, you know what? Listen to me. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Because your metabolism has gotten to the place where it doesn't take many calories to affect you. But can I tell you what? You can change that. You can change that. Now, it's going to, how many know, it might take some, you might need to be resolute on that, but that is changeable. See, Satan gets us in just convincing us that nothing's changeable. My marriage isn't changeable. My kids aren't changeable. My grandkids aren't changeable. My job ain't changeable. You know, my life isn't changeable. I'll never get out of debt. And you need to start dreaming again. And the Bible says, if you'll dream, you'll start to discipline yourself and your life will change. Amen. Are you learning something today? Okay. So number one, you know what? I want you to dream. Number two, take smaller bites. Somebody say, take smaller bites. Pastor, what are you talking about? Just take smaller bites. Amen. See, I remember, this is a true story. I remember I used to work in the grocery store. I used to work night crew. And I'd come in, this is a true story. I remember this. I remember emotionally just, actually, this is true. This is going to sound crazy. I remember coming in at 10:30. That's when we started. 10:30 at night. Almost everywhere, we're going to close in like a half an hour. You know what? And I remember going in the back room, and we would see 23 pallets. You could barely walk in the back room because all there was pallets. And I remember emotionally just wanting to cry. Because, you know why? Because it seemed so overwhelming. Really, I remember emotionally just going, you know, give me out. You know, I'm 27 years old. You know, but that's what I felt. I remember feeling emotionally, I just wanted to cry. He said, Pastor, what would we do? We'd start taking small bites. The first thing we'd do is we'd just roll the pallets out to the center aisles. How many know, when we got those pallets, when they were in the back room, the pallets are big. But when we put them out in the aisles, the pallets aren't so big no more. Do you understand this? And then what would we do? We'd start breaking down the pallets in the aisles. So it would be a pallet, and we'd just make these piles of aisle 2, aisle 4, aisle 6, because we all knew where the stuff was. Boom. And then we'd get rid of the pallets. Amen. How many know it's a good thing to get rid of the pallets? And then, you know what? We'd start to just wheel, two-wheeler to whatever aisles they were. How many know now we've worked maybe 2.5 hours, and how many know I'm not emotional anymore? See, here's all I'm saying. Take smaller bites. You get all emotional because you think. You say, but Pastor, I love sweets. I love sweets. I can't stop eating sweets. I love sweets. Well, the reason I use sweets is because that's what I love. You mean, you know, you want to bless me? Buy me some See's candy. Amen, Dad. I'm just telling you. You know what? Buy me anything sweet. Buy me Ding Dongs, Hostess, you know, cupcakes, Twinkies, Ho Ho's. I'll even take those. What do they call them? Those snowballs. All of it. It's all good. How many remember the snowballs? Amen. I'll even take the snowballs. You know what? But here's the thing. Why don't you? You know what? Let's just do this. You say, Pastor, I'm like, I can't. No. First of all, stop saying you can't. You get that out of your vocabulary. But second thing is, just take smaller bites. You know, I looked this up. I looked this up yesterday. You know, how many like Dr. Pepper?
Oh, right here, buddy.
I'm a Pepper. I love Dr. Pepper. One large Dr. Pepper. One large Dr. Pepper at McDonald's is 280 calories. One large Dr. Pepper. How many know, if I go to McDonald's, you know what? I don't drink one large Dr. Pepper. I buy a large. Why do I buy a large? Because, look at the menu. You know, you're going to pay $2.40 for the medium and $2.50 for the large. You know what I mean? I'm buying the large, Jackson. You know what I mean? And not only am I buying the large, but after I get the large, you know what? I'm going to, you know, before I leave, are you kidding me? It's free soda. Amen. I'm going to go back. You know what? Listen, 280 calories. I could do 280 calories times three in one sitting. Just do your best poker face. Like, Pastor, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Okay, that's fine. All I'm saying is, you know, for me, I'm just saying for me. You're like, Pastor, I don't drink soda. Okay, I'm not even talking to you. Amen? You know what I mean? Make a new application. Trust me, there's something that I am that the Holy Spirit will quicken in your life. If it's not soda, it's something else. And listen, guys, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't want any, you know what? I'm just using examples that I'm familiar with. That's all I'm doing. There's no condemnation. You know what? I'll go over to Tommy's and, you know what, and drink a Dr. Pepper with you right now. Amen? And not sweat it. All I'm saying is, you know what, for me, to drink two large Dr. Peppers in one day was nothing. Two large Dr. Peppers a day times 7 days a week, and I could do it every day, no problem. Did it every day, no problem. You know what, for the week, that's almost 4,000 calories. Wow. What if you took 4,000 calories out of your week every single week? Yeah, but I like Dr. Pepper. Look. All I'm saying is just take smaller bites. You might say, I can't do that, but at least I can stop. Because for me, I couldn't, you know what, I'm going to eat the fries. I'm going to eat the Big Mac. I'm going to eat the quarter pounder with cheese. But you know what, I can at least, you know what, have a tea with that instead and almost enjoy it as much. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Is this making sense to anybody? See, just take it in smaller bites. Just break it down. You don't have to do everything. You know what? But Pastor, I try to get up in the morning. I can't. I always fall asleep. And I've been committed to be closer to God. And I just, you know. Hey, take smaller bites. Amen. Dear, don't get up early. But when you get in the car and you're driving to work, turn off the radio and just pray during the trip to work. Is this making sense? Is the light going on for anybody? See, just take smaller bites. Guys, I'm telling you, this works. You said, Pastor, but you know what? But, you know, I talk to Christian people. You know what? I fast for 4 days. I fast for a week. I fast for 2 days. Pastor, how much do you fast? Nothing. Pastor, you're not spiritual. You don't fast. Don't you know the scripture? I know the scripture. Amen. I know the scripture. Why don't you fast? You should fast. Because you know what? Because I like to eat. That's how come I don't fast. Pastor, I don't think this is a good part of your sermon. Amen. Bible says don't lie. Amen. So here's what I'm saying. But I'm not telling you, so how did, and I knew there was something wrong with that. Well, what did you do? I just took smaller bites. I still don't fast for 4 days. What do you do? Here's what I can do. I can say in the morning, I don't know why, but I'm hardly ever hungry in the morning. So I guess what, I'll fast. I'm a fast breakfast. I got no problem fasting breakfast. I started to take smaller bites. I will fast breakfast. Now, when I get to breakfast, when I still get, hungry for breakfast, I said, man, I'm going to eat a big lunch. I'm going to go Tommy's. I'm going to have a double-double. I'm going to go In-N-Out. Then I'm going to go Taco Bell. I'm going to do it all for lunch. That's what I'm going to do. But here's what happens. When I get at lunchtime, guess what happens? I can say, I'm not going to eat lunch. Guess where I'm going to go for dinner? Man, I'm going to go to Steak and Stein, and I'm going to go to Mimi's. No, I'm not going to Mimi's. But you know what I mean? Whatever. I'm just saying, I can say, oh, for dinner, I'm going to pig out. Okay. Then when I get to dinner, guess what I'm going to do? I tell you what, I'm going to have the biggest breakfast tomorrow. See, I can't fast for 4 days. But you know what I can do? I can fast for, 3, 6, 9, 12. I can fast for 12 meals. One meal at a time.
You're just tricking yourself, Pastor.
Whatever. You know, how many know a rose by any other name is still a rose? Where'd you come up with it? I had a friend who said, you know, it taught me this. And he said, good friend, Pastor Carl taught me this. He said, you know what? I just fast one meal at a time. Just take smaller bites. Just start pulling the pallets out. Just make a decision you're going to do this much, whatever it is, towards God. You know what? You're going to be kind. Pastor, I'm going to be kinder to my wife. Great. But oh, it's so hard. You know what? Just make a decision. Every morning you're just going to make her some coffee. Amen? How many know that would be kinder? If you're not doing that already. Amen? Is that making sense? Hallelujah. See, just break it down. How many still glad you're here today? How many are learning something today? Number three. Number one, dream. Number two, take smaller bites. Number three, you know what? Take out the trash and throw it away. See, what's the trash? The trash is, you know what the Bible says? With God, all things are possible. You know the Bible says that? The Bible says all things are possible. This is the Bible, amen? The Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. But we get around people and they're like, I can't, it'll never, it won't work, it won't happen, you know what, you can't do that. Don't, you know what I mean? All this negative, all this stuff. You know what? I'll tell you what, if you go in our house smells nice. Our house smells nice and it looks nice. Amen. You know why our house smells nice and looks nice? Because of me. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Somebody's like, Pastor, oh, I think a lot of that has to do with Tamara. Amen. That's absolutely true. I mean, but it smells nice and it looks nice because of me. And let me tell you why. Because every day I take out the trash. And sometimes I take out the trash 3 times a day. Amen. And there's junk and there's stink and there's stuff. And you know what? Just like in your house and just like people around you, they don't know any better. They don't understand. The Bible says, meditate on that which is good. That's what the Bible says. Paul says, finally, brethren, this is very, very, very important that we not pollute our minds with people who tell us we've got dreams and God has given us those dreams. And yet people around us will pollute us and tell us, no, you can't. You came from this background. You know what? Everybody knows that you know what? My grandpa was like this. Your grandpa was like that. Oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? Praise God. Pastor, why do you have such a nice ring? I got such a nice ring because my great-grandfather, you know what, was in a poker game. And you know what? And then the guy he was playing ran out of money. And he said, I tell you what, I got a good hand. I will, you know what, bet this ring. Thank God for my great-grandfather, actually. Thank God for my great-grandfather who said, you know what? Well, okay. You know what? Let's go with that. And you know what? And he gave it to his dad, and he gave it to my dad, and my dad gave it to me. Amen. And the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Can somebody say amen to this? Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. 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 Don't be a hater because I have a nice ring. Amen. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. There's trash all around us. No, thank God my dad changed the direction of our family. And some of you, you're allowing family members to convince you that you can't. You know what? You got people telling you you're crazy and you know what? You're going to go back to where you, hey, you ain't going back. Amen. You're not going back to drugs. You're not going back to drinking. You aren't going back, you know what, to the honky-tonk. Amen. Pastor, what's a honky-tonk? Oh, listen to some country music. You'll figure it out. Okay. You ain't going back to honky-tonk. No, 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 no. We're moving forward. Can somebody say amen? But you're not going to look forward. You know, you're not going to have a clean house. You're not going to have a fresh-smelling house if you keep on meditating on all the trash of the people. You can't. It won't. Blah, 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 blah. Silencio, por favor. Say it in English. Say it in Spanish. Figure it out, but learn to take out the trash. And listen, and sometimes I got to take out the trash 3 times a day. Amen. You know, depending how trashy your family is. Amen. Did you just say your family was trashy? yeah. How do I get out of this one? I don't know. But all I'm saying is, how many know, sometimes you can have a lot of people. Sometimes your work is just take out the trash. Take it out of your trash. Take it out of your house and just, you know, get it far from your house. Get it out of your life. Stop thinking your marriage can't change. Stop thinking your life can't change. Stop thinking what the doctors, hey, you don't want, the doctor don't have final authority in your life. Oh, the doctor, he showed me the x-rays. Well, we are not called to walk by what we see. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. Throw out the trash. Take the trash out. Get rid of it. You know this. You know the Bible says, Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. How many know you can have something? How many know you can have something? You know what? Some little piece of cheese gets under the refrigerator, and in, you know what? In 4 weeks, how many know that little piece of cheese is jacking you up?
Oh, that's right. That's it, Pastor.
How many know this is true? You know, a leftover, you know, half a yogurt, you know, a container. Man, it's going to jack, you know. Listen, these words, they create images in your mind, and it's going to jack you up. And that's why the Bible says, no, you got to get rid of that leaven. I quote this, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God says, with me, all things are possible. You got people around you are saying exactly the opposite in what God says. And you got to cast that out. You got to get rid of it. You know what? Exalt itself against. These things are exalting itself against what God said. Bringing every thought. Somebody say every thought. Into captivity. Captivity. You got to capture that thought. You got to get it and get rid of it. Amen. Got rats running around. You got to get the rats, kill the rats, and then get rid of the rats. Amen. How many know you got a rat? And it's still in my house because I don't want to, you know what I mean? It is going to stink up your whole house. There's ratty thoughts that we have. You can't, it won't, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not smart enough. Oh my goodness. You're called to make a difference. And you're not going to make, amen, amen, amen. And you're not going to make a difference if you don't take out the trash. Amen. Can I just say, your spirit is born again. It's not going to get any better. But you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Are you guys learning something? Number 4. Stop thinking you have to accomplish it alone. Listen, this will hurt you so bad as far as moving forward with making a resolution that 2019 is going to be different than 2018. Can I ask again? How many have, I'm asking out loud. I'm not asking you to tell me what it is. How many have some things you'd like to get rid of 2018? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. See, you came to the right place today. Stop thinking. Guys, stop thinking you have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do this by yourself. You're not called to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. You know what? It's not God's plan. I will pray, this is what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will abide with you forever. Who is that talking about? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. You're not alone. Part of the problem is you don't recognize you're not dependent on the Holy Spirit. You're on autopilot, and the autopilot is, I'm going to do what I think is best, what I think is right. I'm not going to, No. There's so many decisions people make, they don't even ask God. Hello, how many know this is true? No, you don't have to do this alone. I was learning about Ray Kroc the other day. Ray Kroc, he's the guy that franchised McDonald's. Okay, and I said, no, that guy's brilliant. No, that guy was not brilliant. We think he was brilliant. I thought he was brilliant. Now, he had some abilities, he had some talents, but he was far from brilliant. So he goes, he's a milkshake salesperson. And he goes to this place in San Gabriel, San Bernardino, and he sees the McDonald's brothers. And he meets them and recognizes, wow, you got a good thing. He thinks and he says, I'm going to franchise this. So he mortgages his home. Somebody say mortgages his home. He mortgages his home. And he starts to build these franchises. He's got, I think, 14 different franchises, and he's going broke. He's going to, and the bank is calling him, and he's ignoring their calls, and he calls, so then the bank calls his house. His wife answers the phone and doesn't know that he's mortgaged the home. I mean, no, this is not a good day. You know, he's keeping something from his wife. And his wife finds out about it. He gets so mad, he goes down to the bank, and he pounds at the desk of one of the bankers, and he says, you had no right to call my home. The banker says, listen, when you got your third month and not paying your payment, we have every right to call you wherever we want to call you. And he goes over some business with him, but he gets upset and he walks out. An accountant overhears the conversation. And he comes up to Ray Kroc and he says, gives him his business card, and Ray Kroc turns around and says, can I help you? And this accountant says, I don't think so, but I think I can help you. They set up a meeting, and he goes over the business plan with him. And he's going over the business plan, and it's negative, 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 negative. And then this accountant says, tell me about the land. And he says, somebody wants to McDonald's. They franchise with us, and they purchase the land, and they lease the land for 20 years. And he says, and then they get a building permit, they borrow some money, and boom, they're on their way. And the man says this. He says, Mr. Kroc, your problem is you don't understand what business you're in. He says, you think you're in the hamburger business, but you should really be in the real estate business. That day changed his life. Because what he started doing is purchasing the land. Then he would rent out the land, a 20-year lease, to the franchisee, and he had the best tenant for 20 years. And he became incredibly wealthy. He had the gold right underneath his feet, and he couldn't see it. But somebody else could see it. How many recognize sometimes we don't see stuff right in front of us, and we're not called to do it alone? God will give us, and many times it's the Holy Spirit. He said, we were there for years and starting to be overcrowded. Oh, what are we going to do? We had this right here. This was our property. This was our building. All we had to do is take a wall off a wall, put, you know, take off the ceiling, you know what, rearrange the air conditioning around. You know what? I mean, yes, it was a lot of work, but how many know we had it right here? All we had to do is see it. Got a good friend, and she was got her education. You know what? Got her master's. You know what? Very competent. Had a heart to want to help. You know what? Kids. Special needs kids, I think, in particularly, and start to train the teachers and the staff and help them. And you know what? And she got a job, and they didn't understand. It was so bureaucratic. They were like, hey, you're messing this all up. Just go home and just take a paycheck. Just be happy. Just be quiet. You're messing it up. Just do your job. And you know what, and I personally, you know what, she just worked harder and harder and harder and just kept on bumping her head up against the wall. Guess what? Her sister saw it. She didn't see it, but her sister saw it. And her sister said, you know what, Mickey, why don't you, you've got this in your heart and you got the training and you could train. Why don't you put these on videos? Put it on the internet. Charge the school districts, you know what, for your training. Now the people don't have to get in their car, drive way out of state or out of a country or not out of out of county or somewhere, rent a hotel, you know what, sit through a you know what. No. They could just do this all in the convenience of their own home. Guess what? That's exactly what she's doing. Amen? See, sometimes other people can see what you can't see. Many times, it's seen by the Holy Spirit. And Mickey told me it was her sister and the Holy Spirit that showed her what she couldn't see. Ray Kroc, a multimillionaire, he's got it right underneath his feet, and he's going broke. Some accountant can see what he can't see. Guys, stop doing this. I can't tell you how many times, you know what, my wife has been such a blessing to me. Say, well, why don't we do it like this? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Pastor, what do you think of that? Here's why. Because I don't have to do it alone. Some of the best ideas that we are implementing right now in this church didn't come from even Tamara or myself. They came from the interns. Or they came from the staff. See, stop thinking you have to do it alone. You've been given a helper. Amen? And not only a helper of the Holy Spirit, but you've been given people around you. Amen. They might not be as smart as you. They might not have as high IQ as you have. They might have a higher IQ. It doesn't make any difference. But can you have the humility to recognize you don't have to do this alone? Amen. So all you have to do is dream. All you have to do is take smaller bites. All you have to do is recognize you don't have to do this alone. And finally, are you learning something today? Oh, yes. And finally, you know what? This is absolutely so important. If you fall, here's what I wrote in my notes. I said, if you fall, get up. How many recognize I changed that? I said, if you fall, and then I recognize, everybody's going to fall. And I said, when you fall, get up. See, it's not about falling that makes you, you know what, a failure. It's about not getting up. Can you say amen? Oh, that deserves a way bigger amen. It's not about you falling. Well, wait, let me set it up for you. I'll give you another shot. Now I don't even know what I said, but it was good. It's not about falling that makes you a failure. It's about when you don't get up that makes you a failure. Amen. Amen. Amen? Just get up. Just get up. You know what you are? You're a righteous man. Say, I'm a righteous man. Why are you righteous? Because why? Not because of you, but because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Get up. God, you know, it's finished. Your sins have been forgiven. Yes, you're going to fall. You know what? But get up. Get up and dust yourself off and say, I tell you what, I'm going to learn something from this mistake. I'm going to learn something here. And then move forward. For the righteous man may fall 7 times. He's going to fall over and over and over and over again. And arise again. He's going to get back up. I'm not saying that you're going to make a resolution and you're never going to fail. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? When you stop by the donut shop, you know what? First of all, you know, try to eat 3 jelly-filled, not 4. Yeah. Eat 4 donuts. Grab 4 donut holes, okay? But all I'm saying is, listen. Don't let that beat you up. You know what? Just say, well, it is what it is. You know what? Go home and eat some broccoli. Amen? Does that make sense? See, just get back up. Because it's what gets up. When you get up, you get tougher. And you learn. And you recognize. See, you know what the key is? We'll look at this a little bit next week. I'll set you up for next week. You know what it is? It's Satan wants to condemn you. You know what? I'm just asking. How many of us? I remember going to the grocery store. And we had one guy in the grocery store. Matter of fact, I almost beat him up because he just made me so mad. Praise the Lord. But he used to say, you know what, Drew? You're getting fat. And man, you know what? And every time when he said, I'm getting fat, I never felt like eating, you know what, some broccoli. See, you know, a lot of times, like, can I teach you something, spouses? You want to encourage your husband, you want to encourage your wife, tell them something good, amen? Amen? Particularly wives, because I just know how men work. Men love when you tell them something nice. Don't just tell them something nice. Satan understands this, and so he criticizes us for everything. You know, just get up and say, listen, you are not in my family. You are not my God. You're not my father. And you know what? What I do is none of your business. And listen to what your father says. Your father will help you up. You know what your father will do? Your father will go running to you. If you want to get up, he'll run to you. That's what he did with the prodigal son. As soon as he saw, he ran to him. God's not looking to beat you up. But you need to get up. You know what the prodigal son did? The Bible says he came to himself. He recognized he was in. I'm not saying, you know, listen, you need to get up. But stop thinking just because you fell, it's over. It ain't over. You know what? You know what? That pitcher, you know, throws the ball. Strike 3, you're out. You need to look and say, hey, listen, you didn't see who was pitching. That's Jesus who's pitching. And Jesus says, we're here all day till I hit a homer. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, 3 strikes, you are not out. Amen. 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 Did you learn something? Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to get some homework. Homework at church? Yes, homework. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to dream. And I want you to, listen. We're going to look at this next week. I want you to write down the dream. What do you want to change? Big thing, little thing, I don't care. It's not up to me to decide. You decide what's going to be. What are you going to change? Write it down. Amen? Write it down and then tell someone what it is. Write it down. We'll go into this next week. Write it down and tell someone. Did somebody learn? Somebody feel inspired? Someone recognize you can change. Hey, does somebody want to change the world today? Amen. Well, your pastor's not telling you you can't. Your pastor's telling you not only you can, but he's given you his spirit. You change your world. You change your family. You change your life. You change your home. And watch what'll happen. My precious.
Thank you. I love the one bite at a time, because I guess we all work differently, but boy, that sure works for me. If I try to take on too much, something that you want to change is usually something that has a stronghold in your life, because you're already reaping negative consequences from it. And so if you want to change it, I remember, gosh, remember getting wheatgrass and stuff? Like, we thought we were going to be healthy. I can't eat wheatgrass. It's done. I can't do it. But you, no. Yeah, good for you. We're all different people. He drinks the nastiest stuff because it's good for him, you know? No. Silencio, por favor. Siéntese, Drew. Okay. All right, so what was I saying? Okay, he drinks the nastiest stuff because it's healthy for him. That's not me. I can't do that. But you know what I can do? I trip out sometimes how radically different my life is. And it all began, here's how it all began, with saying, I'm going to have one soda a day. That's it. You can't have no more, Tamara. One. That's it. And that turned into drinking more water, which turned into, I mean, to no soda a day. Why did I do that? This is the craziest thing. I was watching, I don't know, TV one day and flipping the channels, and I don't even know who it was, but one of those shows, and they had a man on there who drank a lot of soda. And they began to show, okay, this is all the soda in a year. You know how they do that, make it all dramatic. Remember when Oprah drug all the fat onto the stage and said, this is how many pounds I just lost? So they do it all dramatic. The soda was all over the place. And then they started showing how many pounds of sugar that was. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, I drink like a six-pack a day of Pepsi, for sure. That's on an easy day. And so I saw, wow, that's me. And I didn't even know how bad sugar was at the time, but nonetheless, I knew that probably wasn't going to do me well. I was getting older. That's really the truth. I was getting older, and the older I was getting, that six-pack of Pepsi was showing up. It wasn't just me and my Pepsi in the afternoon. It was me and my Pepsi the next day, and the next day, and the next day. I'd carry it around with me. So I was like, wow, I need to not be that man. I need to do something about this. And then the worst part, I realized I was raising my kids that way. Like, we were the soda family. So I just made a decision. I knew that the Word of God said that this was the temple of the Holy Spirit. I knew that I needed to take care of my temple. I just didn't know how. Honestly, we're not really taught, you know, how to be healthy and good to our temple. You know that? I was telling Pastor Paul the other day, man, we are so marketed to. You know what I ate my whole life? Whatever was on a commercial, that's what I ate. You know what I mean? Because that was marketed to us. And it wasn't the best stuff out there. So, anywho, that just changed everything. One step of obedience at a time. That's how you change anything that you want to change in your life. Do you have that, Joshua? You were able to find what I asked you? Okay. So first, just show me the first one. Don't move it until, okay. So this, I don't know, this, do you guys even, who recognizes this? I know Hazel does. I know you do. Okay, and Aline right there with her. Okay, so this is the North Sanctuary. This is where Sozo meets. If you're in Sozo, this is the exact same space that you meet in all the time. And it doesn't look like this at all. That's what it looked like when Pastor Drew and I came here. And it's amazing to watch. What I've noticed is I'm doing one step of obedience at a time. God is so awesome because he's four steps ahead of me going this way, come on. And he leads us. He leads us. So this is what Pastor Drew and I came to, how long ago? 20? Almost 20 years ago. This is what the church looked like. And then here's the exact same space today. How did we get that way? Just one step of obedience at a time. I'll never forget the day that we were here down there with an architect trying to expand that area. We were talking about putting a balcony there so that we could have an upper level and have more seating. And the more the architect talked, the more it just seemed, it's like, okay, well, we could spend a ton of money. It was over $500,000, I think, to do it, is what he was estimating. And we would gain, by the time we got done putting these foundational pillars to hold it all up and everything, because we're going to put those pillars, we would lose a bunch of space that we already had. And then we were going to build this thing overhead, and we were going to maybe gain 50 or 60 seats. I thought, who could spend $500,000 for 50 seats? That's not much of an expansion. That's silly. And out of, it would seem, out of nowhere, what were we doing, though? We were in the midst of stepping out in faith, obeying God. We called the architect. We knew God wanted to expand. We believed that God, we had bigger things. All of that was happening. The architect came. He's standing there. We're all talking. We're looking around. We're measuring. We're crawling up in the attic. We're doing all kinds of stuff. And it's not going to happen. It's just a bad plan. So his discouragement is trying to set in. Well, what are we going to do now? It was just in a moment the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, if we hadn't called the architect, believed that God, heard God, you know what I mean, that we needed to expand, believed that God was going to do something, if we hadn't taken those steps of faith, we wouldn't be standing there with the architect. That ended in discouragement. But then the Holy Spirit spoke. And Pastor Drew said, what about down there? And I thought, that is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous idea. What are you talking about? And he asked the architect, is there more square footage down here or less? It was kind of hard to tell because we had this wall and anywho. He goes, oh, well, that's easy. And in just a moment, he goes, wow, that's twice as big down there. Like, are you kidding me? And then Pastor Drew got all excited. He goes, and there's way more bathrooms down there. Yeah. Like, you remember back over there? Two toilets for the whole church. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, that was one step of obedience at a time. First of all, we trust God. We believe in God. That's how we went from, if we didn't believe in God, how do we go back and forth for me, Josh. That's how it went from what it used to be to what it is. What it used to be, what it is. And the same, I could do that all over this church. This room, many of you remember what it used to be. And then what it is today. Oh, that's what it used to be. Well, yeah, that's what it used to be. Oh, this is what it really used to be. This is what Hazel, remember Hazel? This is what it used to be. And then we came and did all that, and this was Sozo's space down here. A little better, yeah. And now it's what you see in front of you. Always being led by God. Always ready to just take one step of obedience. If I never imagined that we would be where we're at today, the first day that we came, when we walked into the first one there, because that's what we walked into. Never. Dream. Yeah, the point of dreaming. Just know God. Pastor said a lot of things in this, that one bite at a time, that God, you know what, has big plans for you. He does. You know what, each one of us are going to do incredible, incredible things. We're going to touch people's lives like we can't even imagine. We will be astounded of how God uses our life. If just at one, just one obedience at a time, just do what he's saying right this moment. And we will affect so many people's lives. That's what we're doing We're in the midst of one step right now, aren't we? You know what? The outdoor project, you know what? That whole thing, it's awesome. I hope that you're sitting here and you're seeing us go from that to this and that. And every time you see God do it in the house of God, not only are you part of it, you know what? But God wants that very same thing for you in every area of your life. But we just need to step out there and, first of all, believe that we're going that direction. And then just know, as we just take one step of obedience, God's right there going, okay, now this way and this way. And he leads us. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen.